Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Aichi Petrochemicals Limited Q2 and H1 FY25 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pramod Bhandari, Chief Financial Officer, Aichi Petrochemicals Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everybody. On this call, we have joined by SGA, our Investor Relations Advisor. I hope that everyone was able to review our financial results and the investor presentation, which were uploaded to the stock exchange on our company website. After providing a quick overview of the recent industry development and IGPL progress, we will proceed to the operational and financial highlights for the quarter and the six-month ended September. Over the last few quarters, the chemical industry has faced several challenges, including the subdued price volatility in the crude markets, rising freight costs, moderate demand from the Western markets for key chemicals. This has softened the performance of many prominent Indian chemical manufacturers, particularly those exposed to the export market, commodity products, or reliant on the raw material from Europe or China. No company is entirely immune from, and we are not exception. However, the impact on IGPL is minimal, as our primary raw material sources, as well as the customers, which is around 80%-90%, are in a range in the domestic market in the range of 200-250 km radius. Our key product realization remained more or less steady. Additionally, we have observed that there are many European refineries who are struggling and sustain their operations given the current crude price moment environment and sluggish demand for the key products. Though we expect demand of phthalic anhydride in India is in the range of 5 lakh to 5 lakh 50,000 tons, with an annual growth of around 5%-6%. The PEN and the OX spread has come back to between the 150-200 range, which is the historical average for last 5-10 years. In the first half of FY25, we have registered a total revenue of around 1,082 crore, with a 15% year-on-year growth. We have seen some sign of recovery in the selected end-users industry with a notable revival in demand for the phthalic anhydride. IGPL is renowned globally for its efficient phthalic anhydride production, ranking as one of the second largest producers. This versatile product is essential for various industries like paint, plasticizer, pigments, polymers, coatings. Post KF5 commissioning, our total capacity stands at 2,75,000 tons. Apart from PEN, our product portfolio also includes malic anhydride, benzoic acid, DEP, and other products. Plasticizer is also under construction. For the CAPEX, we would like to highlight two points. As our planned strategy, company is investing in a greenfield unit at Taloja, Maharashtra, to produce various types of plasticizer like DOP, BAMP, and other plasticizers. The project is under construction stage, and the plant is expected to complete by Q3 FY26. Additionally, the company has also planned to set up the CBG plant that has moved from planning stage to now the design and implementation stage. We have already awarded the contract of EPG to set up the CBG plant, and that plant is also expected to come online by the end of December 2025. Now coming to the financial performance for the quarter ended Q2 FY25, the total income stood at 587 crore, reflecting a growth of 15% year-to-year basis. Revenue contribution from non-phthalic business stood at 9%. EBITDA was around 69 crore with a margin of around 11.7%. The financial performance of the company was mainly impacted because of the M2M charges we have to provide for the Euro loan, because we have the most of our debt is in Euro, and we have to provide the M2M charges. This is reflected in the forex loss as well as interest loss. This is the total amount to around 12 crore, which we have provided because the Euro has moved from 89.6 to around 93.5. The profit after tax stands at 28 crore for the quarter. For the half year ended, the total revenue stand at 1,182 crore, a growth of 10% year-to-year basis. Revenue contribution for the 6-month ended is 92 crore, which is 8% of the total revenue. Gross profit margin has improved by 300 basis points. EBITDA for HY1 came at 140 crore with operating margin of 11.9%, and profit after tax is around 64 crore for first half. As of September 2024, our company maintained a net debt-free position with a strong balance sheet and cash flow. By prioritizing our long-term growth, we believe that we will build a solid foundation for our future. We have increased our capacity. We are well prepared to seize the emerging opportunity, including the rising domestic demand. Additionally, we'll continue to expand our product offering, which will help us to build a sustainable growth-based portfolio and widen our capability to serve the end-user industry. With this, I would like to conclude my presentation and open the floor for question and answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nirav Jimudia from Anvil Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I have a few questions to ask. So first is on the volume numbers for Q2. I think predominantly we were in the range of 45,000-48,000 tons of volume on a quarterly basis. So has that volumes ramped up during Q2? And if you can also share how are the things looking up for Q3 and Q4 in terms of the overall volumes?
So as indicated last time, we are in the range of around 48,000 for the last quarter. And we are expected to have around 50,000 for the next quarter. And probably after that, we will be touching 55,000 tons. So for the guidance which we have given earlier for the entire year, the volume is expected to be between 200,000-210,000 tons for the current year and expected to be around 230,000-250,000 tons for the next year.
Okay. Sorry. And sir, was there any catalyst change happened during this quarter for any of our trains?
No. There was no change in catalyst, but there was some disruption happened in one of the units for 8-10 days. Catalyst change is expected probably next quarter. Management is yet to take the final call for that same. But every year, we need to change catalyst in one or two plants because every 3 years, you need to change. So for this year, we have already taken the shutdown once for the last 6 months, and we are expected to take probably one shutdown in next 6 months.
Got it. Got it, sir. Sir, secondly, in our earlier discussion, you were mentioning that the newly commissioned train could be lower in terms of the overall OpEx cost. I think something close to around $20-$30 as compared to the prior four trains what we have been currently having at a single location. So just wanted to understand from you, is there any chance of or any scope of OpEx reduction in the earlier four trains, or are we undertaking any project there?
So I understood that. There are two, three things which are happening. First, since all plants are similar locations, so all the infrastructure like the power, utilities, teams are commonly shared, including the manpower. So overall cost compared to the four plants, the fifth plant will be lower by $20-$30 on overall individual basis. On overall basis, it will impact $10-$15 per ton. Number second, we are implementing a lot of new initiatives. We are planning to replace the FO which we are using to restart any plant. That will be replaced with the natural gas. We are already given the order that things are under implementation. So probably 2026-2027, we will see there is an impact because there is a price gap of around 15%-20% compared to the fuel oil or LSFO we are using compared to natural gas. Secondly, we have already implemented the solar power plant for our warehouse and other things. So that has reduced the overall power cost for some portion of the power through which we are generating solar power. We are evaluating to expand it. Earlier, the policy for the solar power was the government was giving you fixed return for the solar power which you are generating. However, now the policy for last 3 years back it has changed. The total power unit you are consuming, out of that the total unit you are generating are reduced. And then you are getting the advantage of the current prevailing rate. That means today we are paying 9 to 10 rupees per unit. Earlier the advantage was for 2 rupees, 2 rupees 50 paisa. Now we are getting the advantage of 9 rupees for any other natural resources based power we are generating. So that has already been implemented. The balance of increase that capacity by 50 to 100% is under evaluation. That is a good move for the industry if you are able to generate the power from other natural renewable resources. And it is reducing your cost for your overall power for the current rate, then it is beneficial for the industry.
Okay. So, sir, you mentioned that the FO2 natural gas could happen in FY26-27.
Yeah.
What sort of annual benefit could accrue to us once these are fully operational and given the current difference of 20% between both the fuels?
So the annual advantage, because you are aware of that most of the power which we use in our plant is the steam generated through the process. So that is very minimum power we use. But on annualized basis for the FO replacement of the gas, we expect between 4 to 6 crore of the annual advantage and the saving. Similarly, for the power plant, of the solar power base, we expect 1 or 2 crore of saving, annualized basis.
Okay. Sir, you also touched upon the user industries like paint, plastic, sizer, pigment. So, if you can share your views in terms of the consumption of phthalic between these major three sectors like paint, plasticizer and pigment, and how do you see the things shaping up over H2 in terms of these three demand areas?
So the majority of the three components, the paint, plasticizer and the CPC, they are the major three areas. Which are consuming around 40 to 50% of the overall. Paint is around 20%. CPC is also 20 to 25%. Plasticizer is between 10 to 15%. These are the three main. Apart from that, we are selling it to the specialty chemicals, the UPR and other things. The UPR is the one segment which was actually 2 years back around comprises 2 to 5%. Now it's around 10 to 15%. So we have seen the demand growth in specialty chemical and the UPI segment. Balance, all areas are steady around same type of range which we have indicated.
Got it. And the last from my side is in second quarter we have reported non-phthalic revenue of 52 crores. So what was for malic and benzoic acid put together?
I think it is because the plant capacity was around 45 to 50,000 tons. So the quantity which has been produced for malic revenue is around 15 to 16 crore. 20 to 25 crore is for the DEP. Balance is for other income and other costs.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much, sir, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Aditya Khetan from Smith's Institutional Equities. Please go ahead. I'm so sorry. The line for the participant seems to be disconnected. The next question is from the line of Srinath Sridhar. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Good afternoon. My first question is, what was the average realization in...
Hello.
My first question is, what was the average realization of phthalic in Q2?
So specifically, we don't comment about the specific product realization, but in general, the realization range between 95 to 105.
95 to 105 per kg. Okay. And, in September, last 2 weeks of September, the PAN and OX spread had narrowed to almost $85 or $90 per.
Your voice, please, can you repeat again because your voice is not clear.
Is it better now?
Yeah.
Wanted to know what the average PAN OX spread is in October and November so far, because in September it had dropped to $85, $90 per ton in the last 2 weeks?
What happened is, for the last quarter ended September, which is July, August, and September, the margin is between 150-200 or 100-200. However, there was a complete decline in the OX prices, which is followed by the OX and the PA. When there is a declining market, then generally what happened is margin, although good, but you are impacted because you continue to carry the inventory and the prices are continuously going down. That has impacted your inventory valuation and the overall valuation for the product. Margin compared to the June quarter has actually improved. If you look at the gross margin level, the margin has improved, but the inventory and other things has also impacted your profitability. Your specific question answer is the margin was very thin into the market, which was around $50-$100 to $110 for last quarter. This quarter it has improved, average around $150-$170. You can't look at margin, a margin is standalone basis. You need to look at along with the declining trend and the inventory impact.
Right. So $150 or has it come in?
I'm still not able to get your voice clear.
I'm asking you, in October, has the spread still remained at $150 or has it come down?
Spread is same. In fact, spread is good. If you ask me for last this 3 months and even the current quarter, the spread is good. It is between $150-$200, which is the historical average. Spread is good. But once the prices of OX and the PA settle, then you will be able to realize the full potential of that spread.
Right. How do you see the trend going forward, sir, from here for the next 6 months?
I think I generally don't comment for future, but as of now, looking at the market and the demand, spreads seem to be stable. There is a good demand in the market, between 5 lakh ton to 5,50,000 ton and all the other segments of downstream, which was not doing well probably from December to May and June, are recovered well and they are doing very well. When I'm saying downstream segment, include paint, plasticizer, pigment, CPC,
right,
specialty chemical. They have recovered a lot compared to the first 6 months of January to June, from now June to October.
Okay. And last question is, what is the amount of imports that is coming from other countries? Like, is there any dumping going on in India from China and stuff?
So, you will not say the dumping, but import is continuing to happen in India. The last quarter imports got around 15,600 tons to India.
Okay. And has it seen an inclining trend or a declining trend?
So I think in April and June, when one more player, plasticizer, has started their production, then the import, which was typically 25,000-30,000, has declined to less than 10,000. Now it is ranging between 12,000-15,000 for last 4 months.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Aditya Khetan from SMIFS Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the opportunity. So my first question is onto the volumes part. So last quarter you had mentioned that, so there was a shutdown because of which the quarterly volumes were around 46,000 tons, if I remember it correctly. So sir, this quarter, ideally, it should have been around 52,000 tons from the base capacity. Adding on to that, PFI could have been around 3,000-4,000 additional. So 55,000 could have been.
I understand that, but we were not able to utilize the capacity for our existing units properly because of some and other issues happening at the plant. It was around 48,000. We expect the next quarter will be between 50,000 to 52,000, and then we can expect between 52,000 to 56,000. We are still, if you look at the overall capacity utilization side, we are between 3.5 to 4 plant operationalized. Total capacity right now utilized, somewhere some there is a change in catalyst, somewhere there is some requirement from the government side for the inspection of boiler. So right now we are operating on an average 4 plants. So that's why you are not able to see the full reflection of PFI. When the PFI will be reflected, then your capacity utilization will be between 53,000 to 55,000. So we are still 10% below that, 10 to 15%.
Okay, okay. So, sir, all these 5 plants, when are we expecting this to come on stream, like by Q4?
So, generally, PA4, 5 is working, 3 is set for changing catalyst. Sometimes PA3, 4, 5 is working, 1 and 2 is set for some inspection. So, something is going on continuous basis for the statutory requirement. We believe by 26, 27, we will be able to see the full operational of all 5 plants. 25, 26.
Okay. But on sequential basis also, like, we have witnessed the improvement in spread for the phthalic anhydride and the orthoxylene. I believe, sir, now these levels of spreads would be very comfortable when we look 2-3 quarters back. So we were standing at a loss in terms of EBITDA. Now we have reached a sizable, like, chunk of around 60-65 crore of EBITDA. So, sir, how sustainable you see these numbers in the coming quarter, and with the volume growth, what are you expecting?
This number is sustainable easily, but that is on still the 75% of the volume. Volume has to go to 90-95%. As I mentioned, the total capacity is 275. If you take 90% of volume, has to be ideally when all plants are operating between 240,000 to 250,000 tons. That means if you divide it by 4, it has to be around 55,000 to 60,000 tons at optimal capacity utilization for all 5 plants. So we are still far away from around 20-25% on that. So that is one part. One is the improvement in the overall operations for the increase in volume. Second, the margin is, I think, is reasonably okay. But if we will see the continuous demand from the downstream segment, we can see further improvement in the market.
Got it. Also, sir, in your opening comments, you had mentioned that the realization has been quite steady. But now with the crude oil prices declining, have you seen any sort of decline into the phthalic anhydride and the malic anhydride prices also as of now? And what are you expecting for second half?
So I mentioned that there was a continuous declining trend for the last quarter, which has impacted in terms of the inventory and other valuation. However, the margin continued to remain good. But when there is a declining trend, then the customers are in wait and watch. They wait for the prices to stabilize. And your continuous manufacturing plant, you need to carry the inventory, and then you have some impact on the inventory valuation. When the prices are stabilized, you are able to achieve your optimum potential for the profitability. Now the prices have stabilized. And if we continue to have that similar margin, we will see the good profitability.
Got it. And my last question is on to the non-phthalic business. Sir, in first half, we have done almost around 90 crore of top line from the non-phthalic business. If we analyze it, somewhere around 170 to 180 crore should be done by the company. But this figure again would be, you can say, a high of the last 2 years, because 170 crore of the non-phthalic business we have done in 2023. So what is driving this growth into the non-phthalic business at a time when the malic anhydride prices are still below the PAN prices?
Yeah. So the reason is very simple. First, we are fully utilizing our DEP capacity. DEP is right now is around a 24 to 25 crore on quarterly basis. So that is the one segment which has come up to our optimum capacity utilization. Second, we are in the range of 15 to 16 crore for the malic. However, if you ask me, is it the level right? No. Because there are two reasons for that. We expect malic to 25 crore per quarter. Right now it is 15. There are two reasons. First is the quantity, because they are on and off operationalized around 3.5 to 4 plants compared to 5. So one is the quantity, because if you are not operating all the plants, malic quantity will be lower. Second, the price of the malic is 20% lower than phthalic. Typically, the phthalic is between 1000 to 1050. Historically, malic has to be 1200, 1250. But right now, the malic is between 800 to 850. So these two reasons have kept the malic potential revenue from 25 to 15 crore. So 15, if you analyze it, 60. Ideally, it has to be 100. So that is the second reason. So today, when we are talking about, we have the 25 crore of the optimum utilization of DP, 25, 15 is malic, which can probably go up to 20 to 25 if there is a correction in the pricing, improvement in the pricing, and overall improvement in the volume. and other income also added to that because of the 7 to 8 crore on account of the other income and some other trading, the duty drawback, the sales of wash water, export incentive, all put together is putting into the other revenue. So the key component is Malik and DEP.
Okay, sir, got it. Sir, but suppose, sir, if the Malik and added business comes to the normalized level, what you're saying of 25 crore, so adding Malik, DEP and the other income, so we are talking of 65 crore per quarter from the non-Malik business. So that means
correct.
Somewhere
correct.
Around
correct.
220 crore of top line from the non-Malik business.
Yes.
But historically, sir, like in FY23, we had touched only 170 crore. I think that time the Malik business has been normalized. And DEP also was running at, you can say, near optimum level.
But the DEP has recently touched the optimum level. It was between 10 to 12 crore. So now it is 25 crore. And the Malik at that time was generating from the three plants. Now we have five plants. The volume has to pick up for the phthalic. Then the Malik sales quantity will improve and the price will improve. So peak potential of Malik and DEP is 200 crore.
Got it. Sir, just one last question, if I can squeeze in. So the volume guidance of PAN, what you have given of 210,000 tons, how much would be the... So, sir, how much would be the internal consumption for DEP?
So, this is except internal consumption. That means internal consumption of the DEP is required around 30. On 8,000 tons, we are consuming around 2,500 tons. So that is excluding because when I'm giving guidance for 2 to 210, this is actual sale of phthalic to outside world.
Okay, got it. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Pradeep Rawat from Yogya Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon and thank you for taking my question. So I have one question. So, sir, you witnessed some kind of inventory losses in this quarter. So our margins were
I will not say directly inventory losses because this is the phenomena. There is a continuous decline in the prices of your raw material and the final product. And you continue to hold some inventory, 5 to 6,000 crore. So all inventory losses and gain are inbuilt in your system because it's something which you don't calculate separately because gain is also inbuilt. So it is not right to say that you have got a loss. Neither it is right to say it's profit. It's inbuilt. It's a part of the business. But of course, it has impact on the valuation.
Yeah, understood. So it must have artificially depressed our margins this quarter. Is that understanding correct?
Correct.
So if those artificial losses are not there, what would be the margin for us for this quarter?
So if there is no impact of M2M, we have an impact of M2M around 11 to 12 crore on the zero. And similarly, 7, 8 crore is add, around 20 crore was the exceptional for this quarter.
So it's total 32 crore?
No. When I'm saying 20, then you need to reduce the taxes also. So 10 to 15 crore would have been extra if there is no exceptional things like that.
Okay, understood. Okay, and one suggestion, if you can include prices and spread of phthalic anhydride and ortho-xylene, that would be great in our presentation.
So the challenge is that we can do it for the market because what happened is market has a different set of margin, while ICPL, because of the advantage of the operational efficiency, need byproduct have a generally $100 to $150 over and above the market margin. So we specifically don't give that because it creates confusion. Because when you look at the market, you will say $100 to $150. When you look at IGPL margin, you will say $250 to $260. So whatever is the market margin, IGPL margin will be $100 to $120 higher than the market because of the other things associated with our production efficiency and all.
Yeah, understood. Great, sir. Thank you. Thank you and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Chirag Bekaria from Budhrani Finance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Can you throw some light on this compressed biogas? When this will get commissioned? What is the payback and some details on it, sir?
Okay. So we were evaluating last quarter when we have discussed, we were evaluating that project. So that project is coming at in Karnataka in Raichur. The project will cost up to 32 crore, including the GST and the capital subsidy. Net of it will be 26-27 crore. The project is, we have already given the contract to set up that EPC contract as well as the plant machinery contract to set up by a player in the domestic market. The plant is under designing stage and it is expected to be set up and commissioned by December 2025. It is expected to generate around 16 to 18 crore of revenue and expect to have between 15 to 20% IRR.
20% IRR.
Yeah, 15 to 20%. It depends upon the final product price because CBG is blended with the CNG. Whatever is the CNG price, government will give it to you. There is a particular formula to determine that. And we have a raw material like nappier grass and the agro waste, which is tied up and available in the market. So based on that, margin will vary and the IRR is expected between 15 to 20%. That is the first plant, or you can say the first plant to trial and test the CBG market. Once it is successful, we are planning to replicate the similar type of plants in different locations.
Okay, okay. The second thing on the debt, sir, can you, so you said you are net debt free, right?
Yeah.
So what I understand is, sir, what you have shown in your number is 400 crore odd of borrowing.
So, I will explain it to you. Yeah. We have a total term debt of 266 crore.
Okay.
And cash was around 300 crore plus. There are debt which is the usage of CC and bill discounting, which is 110 crore is additionally added in this quarter. Because at the end of quarter, we are not able to realize the money from some of the players. So we need to discount the bills, the sales bills and utilize our CC. That will be normalized by the end of December.
Okay.
So actually that remains 266 on the books today.
Okay, okay, sir. And sir, just last your thoughts on, sir, how is the demand seen on from your end client, sir? Is it good or you see some struggle still going on, sir?
No. I think for the quarter ended September, the demand is actually has improved a lot compared to the June quarter. And we continue to see the good and robust demand because Indian, all the downstream segment, whether it's the paint, plasticizer, pigment, CPC, specialty chemical, all has improved. They were impacted when there was a geopolitical issue between Russia and all that European players were impacted. Now everything has come on stream. And we expect that demand to continue to remain robust and continue to grow at 5 to 6%.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Rohit Sinha from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question, sir. Some of my questions are already answered. Just one thing to check. At this time, we have some this employee adjustment on the finance cost. So in past, or any time when we have observed this kind of bigger adjustment, or this is the first time we are witnessing in numbers?
So typically, the euro is very less volatile. It may say 1 to 1.5 compared to rupee. So it is less than a crore. So there is no impact. So typically, finance cost for all term loan, including working capital, is around 8.5 to 9 crore, which annualized 35 to 36 or 37 crore. So this time, because there is a loan in the euro, because we have bought all the equipments from Germany and there is a euro-based loan. So the rate has moved from 89.25 to 93.75 or 94 precisely. So the jump was 6% in the quarter. That's why the MTM charges and MTM charges need to be provided every quarter. So next quarter, now the rate has again moved to 92. You will see the positive side of that this rate will be, there will be gain on the foreign exchange next quarter. So that is under, as per the Indian accounting standard, we need to provide that. As such, it doesn't have any impact on the balance sheet or the P&L in terms of the cash flow.
Okay. So for full year, maybe as you were highlighting that 35-36 crore kind of interest cost would be there.
Correct.
So at the full year, it would be in that similar range, correct?
Yes.
After adjusting all this MTM thing. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Because it has resulted to sometime gain, sometime loss. If you net it off, it has hardly any impact.
Got it. Got it. Yeah, that's it from my side, sir. I'll come back in queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Aditya Khetan from SMIFS Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the follow-up. Sir, in your opening remarks, you mentioned that some of the global players are struggling. Any idea, sir, like which players you're talking about, and are there any closures in terms of capacity we have seen in China on thalicarbonate side?
So the global, when I'm mentioning global, I'm not referring to the phthalic or petrochemical. I'm saying in general, the refining business in Europe is not growing. So there are challenges in the Europe because of the gas prices has increased, the manpower cost is high, and there is a steady demand. Europe in petrochemical players are designed in such a way to give the product back to Europe. They are not designed for the purpose of exporting because they are not cost competitive compared to India and China. So when I'm saying they are struggling, that means there are challenges in that segment, and there may be chances. Right now, I don't have any information what has closed. There were some instances in Taiwan and other places, Korea, where it was changed. But in next 3 to 5 years, you will see a lot of chemical industries or the players either sold out or closed down in Europe. That will give the advantage to the Indian player in the downstream segment, and they are increasing their capability 2x, 3x, then it will be a big jump into the overall demand for phthalic.
Okay. Sir, any idea onto the domestic players or any global players who are expanding the capacity?
I think domestically, so there are three players, IGPL and the two other players. One is Plasticizer and other is there. They are, I think, it's in public domain. In global player side, I have not listened anything that they are increasing the capacity. And Europe and America, no. Maybe some places they may be doing some debottlenecking, increasing the capacity by 5%-7%. That is not generally in the public domain. New big capacity is coming up.
Okay. And sir, annualized run rate for finance cost, what you mentioned, of around 34 crore-35 crore, so that will be the run rate we have to build in.
It will be between 9 crore-10 crore per quarter for IG. So balance which you are seeing the swing of 5 crore-7 crore is on account of MTM charges.
Got it. Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Naitik Modi from OHM Portfolio. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, what is the capacity available for production for quarter one and quarter two?
So capacity available, what is the meaning of capacity available? When you look at all five plants, then capacity is 275, and around 250,000 is the capacity. When you're saying available, 250,000 is IGPL can produce at any point of time or annual basis. If you divide it by four, it is 62,000 per quarter.
Correct. So what was the utilization for Q1 and Q2?
You can say that the utilization for that is around 75%-80%.
For both quarters?
Because typically, we have a utilization of 90% historically for last 20 years. But there are some change in the catalyst, sometimes unplanned, sometimes the regulatory requirements. We are not able to reach up to the potential of 90%, which is our historical capacity utilization. Now, we are at 78%-80%. We expect probably in 2025, 2026, we will be around 90%.
Okay. And so what is the difference between this 275 and 250? What is that balance 25 loss of for?
So no, 275 is the total capacity.
Correct.
But we are counting 90% is the extended capacity utilization in the industry. So that is why 275, we are saying 250, because the balance 25 capacity is lost because of change in catalyst and other institutional requirements.
Okay.
That is the industry norm. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Rahul Jagwani from PGIM. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Is there any specific reason we have this Euro loan?
Yeah. So all our equipments for the Thalic are from Germany. And in Germany, when we are paying, we are getting the advantage of ECA. ECA is a system through which you can get a fixed amount of loan at a fixed rate. For PA3, PA2 and PA4, we have taken an ECA loan. For PA5, because of the paucity of time, we have opted for the Indian-based Euro loan, because all equipment are denominated in the Euro. We have opted for the Euro loan for that. So blended cost of the Euro loan is around 5.5% now. So compared to the dollar and other, it is cheaper. There is a lower fluctuation. And compared to the rupee loan, it is 3-4% cheaper. So that is the reason. And the ECA facility, which is a fixed interest, at very low interest, is available only if you are taking loan in that currency of a country to which you are sourcing the system.
Okay, so I understand. And out of this term debt of 266, how much is the Euro loan component?
It is around 150 to 160.
Okay, and so what is the repayment time for this?
It's all loans are 2 years moratorium, 5 year repayment. Now, I think we have started. Now, four and a half year is pending.
Okay, okay. Thank you, sir. Okay.
Thank you very much. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, everyone, for joining this call during the peak market hour. We appreciate your interest in the company. If you have any query, please contact our investor relations advisor or you can directly send us a mail. We will be happy to respond. Thank you very much and have a nice day.
On behalf of IG Petrochemicals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.